Gentlemen, could we have you please take your seats? Well, that's the quietest I've heard this floor in quite some time. Would everybody please take their seats? Good afternoon. Would everyone please take their seats? As chair of the Senate Committee on the Judiciary, I have the honor and privilege of welcoming you to the Senate chambers to hear about the state of our judiciary from California's Chief Justice Tani Cantil Sakaue. It has been my particular pleasure to work as a partner for justice with our Chief Justice during my years as a member of the Senate and as a member of the Judicial Council. I look forward to hearing the state of the judiciary as one of the, and I guess the last time, as a sitting senator. The following legislators are part of the Joint Escort Committee. If they would go to the back of the hall, please. Senators Bradford, Monning, and Umberg. Assembly members Chow, Jones Sawyer, and Stone. You will be escorting the chief to the rostrum. I now have the honor and the deepest privilege of introducing at this moment the Speaker of the California State Assembly, Speaker Anthony Rendon, who will make some opening remarks. Speaker Rendon, the dais is yours. And having missed my cue, I would like to ask you to please bring the Chief Justice to the dais at this point in time. Ladies and gentlemen, the Chief Justice of the California Supreme Court.
Good afternoon. First of all, thank you, Senator Jackson. It's a privilege to be here in the Senate chambers again for the Chief Justice's annual address on the state of California's judiciary. Almost exactly 1 year ago, the governor made the dramatic announcement that he was suspending the death penalty. Shortly after that, our California Chief Justice gave a state of the judiciary address in which she warned, "We must ensure that income inequality does not translate into a two-tiered system of justice." The words of these two leaders should give Californians pride. I am proud to see that they are speaking up for justice in the administration and in the judiciary. The Assembly has also stood for justice. We stand for justice when we pass legislation to protect critical rights for working people or to protect the very lives of young black men against unreasonable use of force. Right now, California's three branches of government represent a triple bulwark against injustice. At this moment, it's my honor to introduce my partner in that legislative work, my friend and colleague, Senate Pro Tem Tony Atkins.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you so much. Mr. Speaker, thank you. It is really a joy to have you as my legislative partner, my colleague, and my friend. Good afternoon and welcome to the 2020 State of the Judiciary Address. To the elected officials, the representatives of the legal community and the Judicial Council here today, and all of our other distinguished guests, I want to thank you for taking time to be here with us today. I also want to welcome a few of our other partners in state governance, starting with the President of the Senate and our Lieutenant Governor, Eleni Koulounakis. Thank you. Our Attorney General, Javier Becerra. Our State Controller, Betty Yee. Our State Treasurer, Fiona Ma. So let me thank all of you for being here. Our system of government is precious. The legislative, judicial, and executive branches safeguard our democracy with every single step that we take. And as a co-equal branch of government, the judicial branch works daily to interpret the laws that we enact to protect and further our democracy. One of the nearly 9 million cases filed annually in California, the Supreme Court issues as many as 115 decisions each year. The opinions ultimately affect the lives of our state's 40 million residents and make ripples in the advancement of jurisprudence nationally and, in fact, worldwide. As Californians have grown increasingly more diverse, so too has our Supreme Court grown more reflective of our great state. It's both a personal and professional pleasure to introduce California's Supreme Court justices, starting with Justice Chin. Justice Chin, let me offer my congratulations on your impending retirement. May you enjoy it immensely. You have earned this, and let me thank you publicly for your service. We can clap for that. Our associate justices are with us also today. Carol Corrigan is here. Goodwin Liu is here with us. Mariano Florentino Cuellar. And Joshua Groban. And now, friends, colleagues, please join me in welcoming to the Senate chamber California's Chief Justice, Tani Cantil Sakaue. Thank you. It is a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Senate President Atkins. Thank you, Senator Jackson. Thank you, Speaker Rendon. Thank you to our constitutional officers here on the podium. And of course, and always, thank you, Lieutenant Governor Kunalakis. It's a pleasure again to be here with all of you. Considering that we are celebrating the 100th anniversary of the 19th Amendment, giving women the right to vote, I'm certain that our suffragette ancestors would be proud to see so many California women leaders in the room. I'm also proud to be here with my colleagues from the Supreme Court, the Judicial Branch, the Judicial Council, the Bench Bar Coalition, the California Judges Association, and the State Bar. I'm also thankful that some of my friends and family are here, including my husband Mark and our daughters Hannah and Claire. I'd like to take a moment to thank Governor Newsom for his proclamation, declaring February 19th as a day of remembrance to honor the sacrifice and resilience of the Japanese Americans who, without evidence and due process, were forced from their home to live in internment camps for years. And two of those people are here today, my in-laws, Jiro Sakaue and Dorothy Sakaue. Jiro was interned at Tule Lake, California, and Dorothy was interned at Amachi, Colorado. In his proclamation, the governor went on to recognize men like my 91-year-old father-in-law, Jiro, who upon release from the camp and became of age, volunteered for the United States military and served in the Korean War. I also want to thank the Assembly, particularly Speaker Rendon and Assemblymember Al Marasucci, for their resolution of apology, apologizing for the then California legislature's cooperation in the internment of Japanese Americans during World War II. I understand the Senate will be seeing a similar resolution introduced by Senators Pan and Atkins. I want to say that
These actions of remembrance and apology in a time of national bans, xenophobia, and hostility are beacons of hope when our California leaders take this kind of action. I also want to say that I know and that we can rely that the three branches of government and our California leaders will keep their heads during this coronavirus epidemic and take all steps to keep us safe and protected. In the governor's state of the state, he talked about the California dream. He didn't define it, he didn't have to, because all of us know what that is. And that's why I want to take this moment to acknowledge Justice Ming Chin, who personifies the California dream. He is a person of extraordinary intellect, gained not only from books and degrees, but also from hands-on hard work and experience. Justice Chin possesses a rich wisdom and an irreverent wit. His story began when his Chinese immigrant parents became Oregon potato farmers. One of eight children, Ming worked 7 days a week and knew how to operate a hay baler and a combine before he could drive. His parents never finished elementary school, but they knew the value of an education, and so they sent Ming to board with a local judge. And in true judge fashion, this judge had Ming, the middle schooler, read Blackstone's Commentaries on the Laws of England. Surprisingly, this did not deter Ming from the practice of law. He went on to serve in the military as a U.S. captain in Vietnam. He is a decorated veteran. He then came back and turned his attention to the law, and again, he excelled. Given his many decades of public service as a lawyer, judge, and justice, he has become an expert in technology and in the science of DNA. He co-chairs our Judicial Council, our policy and rulemaking body, and he continues to teach justices to this day. I dwell on his life because he exemplifies the intellect and the integrity of our over 2,000 court officers and our approximately 20,000 court employees. Justice Ming Chin is a juror without parallel. His 25 years of wise and practical jurisprudence on the California Supreme Court will guide the state for years to come. And I dwell on his life, as you know, because of who he is and what he's done, but I actually knew of Ming before I met him, and I'll tell you about that in a few moments. But here and now, in this legislature, you grapple with the state's most vital issues, from homelessness to the environment, to healthcare, to education, to our aging population, as well as funding and litigation threats from our federal government that undermine our ability to address these issues. Also, we know that last year alone, over 878 of the legislature's bills were signed into law. These laws were the product of deliberation, discussion, and debate. And rightfully and properly, you held yourselves accountable and you held others accountable. Now, Alexis de Tocqueville once famously said, "There is hardly a political question in the United States that does not sooner or later become a judicial one." So your issues pivot to the judicial branch, and we become accountable. And we are accountable, of course, with our fair and impartial public hearings, with our reliance on the facts to make findings of fact, and of course, the rule of law. But we are also accountable in other ways, because we do justice in the name of justice, and we do it under the banner of three-dimensional access to justice. That is, that justice be equal, that it be physical, and that it be online. Take, for example, the one-time innovative grant funding you provided to the Judicial Council. We distributed that to the trial courts based on their ability to increase equal access in their jurisdictions. Some of the programs include a human trafficking prevention court in Fresno that provides a place for victims to come for support, safety, and social services. In San Francisco, they developed a veterans court that seeks to better understand and treat the men and women who served this country but somehow lost their way when they came home. Under the banner of physical access to justice, with your help, we've been able to repair and maintain our over 500 court facilities, as well as build new buildings in critical areas, as you know. Under the banner of online access to justice, we've helped Butte County and rural court users who come to court or who need self-help. And so through Skype, we have been able to expand rural help to 23 other jurisdictions. And in Monterey, we've developed a mobile app that permits those users to access court cases and calendars and pay their traffic tickets on their smartphones. But of course, accountability also requires us to reckon with our past, and also the consequences of government action, neglect, and missteps that happened before any of us were here. But in recent times, all of us have come to understand that racial and income inequality can often create barriers to access to justice and affects the democracy that each of us experiences. So, for example, in California, we have the highest poverty rate in the nation. In California, we have over 50% of the nation's population of homeless. Yet, in our nation state of California, we work together to address these issues, to identify and reform systems of inequity. During my administration, we have championed the needs of the impoverished and the overlooked. We have developed and worked on many programs, including we've been working on legal reforms, on justice system practices that place a heavier burden on those with the fewest of resources. We have, in fact, developed pretrial services as an alternative to money bail that preys upon minority communities and the poorest of the poor. We have piloted fines and fee reforms in order to restore fairness and balance and proportionality to low-income Californians. We continue to seek assistance for our dependent children and the hardworking attorneys who represent them. We have innovated, delivered new services to people who need self-help and for people, thank you, Justice Cuellar, who are unable to understand English as well as they need to be for court services. We do all this, and we ask then for your continued support in our budget so we can continue these critical programs, as well as a new one, the Court Navigator Program. The Court Navigator Program is a human touch for people who come to court without an attorney and are in crisis. If you look at the branch over the last several years, you will come to realize, as I have, that we have become more than a place that resolves disputes. We have become centers for social justice. And as Chief Justice, I have spoken out when my conscience demanded it on matters concerning fines and fees, sexual harassment and misconduct and unconscious bias in the judiciary, and federal immigration interference in our state justice system. Thank you. This is why, in part, I believe that because we have become social justice centers, and because courts often see people who are in a crisis that could lead to homelessness, I will be appointing a work group to study how we can become better partners in the crisis of homelessness. And this work group, thank you. This work group will report back to me at the end of the year. And we'll consider questions like, how can courts become more proactive in addressing the homeless population situation in California? Are there rules and procedures and laws that need to be amended or modified so we can better serve the population of homeless that come to our courts? Can we transfer our surplus property to the executive branch and have it repurposed for housing? Is there a way, for example, we can use our temporary assigned judges program for targeted services so that courts can use them for immediate services for people who are in crisis? So I want to tell you that I firmly believe that the justice we do today will affect our communities of tomorrow. And this is why I want to tell you why it is I knew of Justice Chin, even though I knew his name as a Supreme Court justice, but I knew of him before I met him. So he was recently asked about which opinions or decisions he was most proud. And he cited a dissent from when he was a Court of Appeal justice. And in the dissent, he argued that battered women syndrome should be a legal defense in a domestic violence prosecution. But of course, he was a dissent on a Court of Appeal. But when he became a Supreme Court justice, he authored an opinion for the California Supreme Court recognizing battered women syndrome as a defense in domestic violence cases. That was 1996. In 1997, I'm creating the first ever domestic violence court in Sacramento. We don't even have a name like collaborative court or restorative justice court. And Justice Chin's decision recognizing battered women's syndrome is groundbreaking because it finally allows us to understand the pathology of domestic violence and also the effect not only on the victim and not only on the children or the family, but on future generations. It changed the legal landscape forever. It allowed us a window, a terrifying window, into the terror of the life of a victim. And so I say thank you, Justice Chin, for your public service, your visionary leadership, because I believe that you demonstrate that when we are open-minded, when we deliberate fairly, and when we come together for necessary changes, that we can preserve and create and expand access to justice for all in California. Thank you for your time.
Chief Justice, thank you so much for honoring us with your presence today and sharing the state of the judiciary. Colleagues, the council's judicial council's reception will be following at the Stanley Mosque Building. And so with that, I want to thank you for being here today. We are so fortunate to have such an incredible Supreme Court in the state of California, led by an incredible leader and a wonderful woman. Thank you, Chief Justice. Thank you.